Saram, dear listeners, I am team Radio Sai's Bishu and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series where we offer you beautiful bhajans that used to be sung in the yesteryears in the divine presence of Bhagwan. And some of these compositions are today forgotten, but we are here in this program to relive and rediscover some of those beautiful bhajans so that we can connect to the Lord through these lovely compositions which Bhagwan loved to hear in the 60s and 70s. So today we have a bhajan which is dedicated to the Mother Goddess. Here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
So this bhajan has four lines. We will go on learning the lyrics of the bhajan, then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat of the bhajan, and then we will discuss the significance of every word of this lovely bhajan on the Divine Mother. Let's get started with the lyrics.
Madurapuri Nilaye Meenakshi, Kamakoti Nilaye Kamakshi, Kashi Puradhishwari Vishveshwari, Parthi Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Now that we know the lyrics, here is how this bhajan should be sung. Brother Srinivasulu along with Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Kamakoti Nilaye Kamakshi.
Kamakoti Nilaye Kamakshi.
Kamakoti Nilaye Kamakshi.
Kamakoti Nilaye Kamakshi.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Kashi Puradhishwari Vishveshwari.
Kashi Puradhishwari Vishveshwari.
Parthi Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Parthi Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Parthi Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Parthi Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Madura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
So that's the lovely tune of another vintage bhajan adoring the Mother Goddess. You have beautiful pilgrim places along with the goddesses arrayed in this beautiful bhajan. A four-line lovely tune. Let's listen from Anirudh a little more about the composition of this bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga on which this bhajan stands?
Saram Vishu.
Saram.
As you rightly said, it's a beautiful bhajan adoring goddess. Different places of worship like Madurai Meenakshi, Kanchi Kamakoti.
Yes.
Kashi.
Yes.
And then finally Puttaparthi.
Yes.
So it's a very nice logical four-line bhajan. And it is wonderfully tuned in Raga Kannada, in the Carnatic classical music. This raga is very popularly known in the South Indian Carnatic music because you have many compositions. And one of the very, very, very famous composition of Sri Uthakadu Venkata Subbayyar is
Alai Payude Kanna
Song, the meaning is like hearing the joyful flute, the music of your flute, my mind is flowing like waves.
Mm-hmm.
And ale means waves, so ale payude, the waves are flowing. And Kannada is a very best suited raga, I think. The composition is made, so it the tune really justifies to the feel of the composer. And coming to our bhajans also, you have many bhajans in Kannada. But before taking to bhajans, let me just take you through the notes of this raga.
Sari Shudri Pagama
Komalga
Da
Shuddha
Danisa
Komalni
Sani Pamagamadi Sa Sari Pagamadani Sa Sani Pamagamadi Sa.
This is Arohan and Avrohana of the Kannada Raga. We take some of the phrases from this Raga and incorporate in our bhajans to get the feel of the Kannada, to get the flavor of the Kannada.
Atma Rama Anandaramana Achyuta Keshava Hari Narayana Bhava Bhayaharana Vandita Charana Raghukula Bhushana Rajiva Nayana Jaya Jaya Mangala Saina Jaya Parthishwara Sai Namo Shiva Shaktishwara Sai Namo Shri Shaileshwara Sai Namo Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om Narayana
Mangala
Shubhakari Ma
Before Mangala Shubhakari, whatever bhajans we discuss, it has the typical phrases from Kannada, like
Gamadada Bhava Bhayaharana Kashipuradeshwari.
Mangala Shubhakari is kind of a more Hindustani based bhajan, whereas the notes are taken from the Kannada. Okay. Like, then you have examples like
Vande Omanandanam,
because the Shuddha Dha is just taken. Mm-hmm. And
Jaya Ho Gopalana,
like that many bhajans are there.
Yes. Okay, so let's discover the swaras of this bhajan.
Yeah, the swaras, let's take the first line.
Madhura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi Sasari Risari Paga
Sasare re sare paga mare sa
kam koti nilaye kamakshi ma pa 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 ma pani paga mare sa
ma pa 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 ma pani paga mare sa
madhura Sari ri sari paga mare sa
sa sari ri sari paga mare sa
kashi puradeshwari vishweshwari
So let's discuss the beat also.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is simple 8 beat. Adi Talam or Keherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Madhura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madhura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Beautiful. It's a lovely offering to the Mother Goddess. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram. So we are now come to that part of this program where we discover the inner significance of the words that make the bhajan. Let's take the first line.
Madhura Puri Nilaye Meenakshi.
Madhura Puri Nilaye means the one residing in the city of Madurai. Meenakshi is the name of the goddess who is worshipped in this temple town. In fact, the Madhura Meenakshi temple is one of the grandest in the state of Tamil Nadu. It is spread over 14 acres with 12 large gopurams or gateway towers, and it has 33,000 icons or sculptures in it. So definitely it is one of the magnificent devotional edifices of South India. Meenakshi literally means the one whose eyes are as shapely as the contours of a fish. The story of this temple is a fantastic one with many dimensions. Many centuries ago, one of the dominant powers in South India was the Pandyan dynasty. For a great part of their rule, Madurai served as their capital. One of the Pandyan kings was the legendary Maladhwaja Pandya. Unfortunately, he did not have any children. So he performed a great yagna, a sacrifice, to secure an heir to his kingdom. As he was making offerings into the fire and waiting for the blessing to have this offspring, quite astonishingly, from the fire emerged a 3-year-old girl. She was resplendent, brilliant and beautiful, but there was a strange thing about her. The little one had 3 breasts. The king was stunned with all these mysterious occurrences, and he was wondering, what is this strange girl and with this unique feature? As his mind was trying to figure out, suddenly he heard a voice from the heavens, and the voice told him that she in fact is the heir, and he should raise that child like a son. It was also mentioned that her 3rd breast would disappear the day she meets the man worthy to be her husband. So Meenakshi grew up learning the martial arts, and she became a fine warrior who excelled particularly in archery and sword fighting. When she was of marriageable age, she proclaimed that she would marry the man who could beat her in combat, and none of the kings from the neighboring kingdoms were able to stand up to her might. Finally, finding no one equal to her, the king had no option but to make her the ruler of the kingdom. So she ascended the throne, and after a few years after the king left, she was the queen of the realm. Her fame had grown, her conquests had increased. She then traveled northwards and defeated many rulers, finally coming to Mount Kailash. And here in Mount Kailash, she met her equal in battle, King Sundareshwar. And who is Sundareshwar? None other than Lord Shiva. One of the names of Lord Shiva is Sundareshwar. Sundar means beautiful. He's the most beautiful one, the most beautiful Lord. And the moment Meenakshi sees Sundareshwar, her third breast disappears. And then she surrenders to Lord Shiva. And then as a couple, Meenakshi and Sundareshwar return to Madurai. And there they have a grand wedding. And that is where they install themselves for times to come. Her story, in fact, is a great inspiration for young girls in South India because they feel empowered to go out and be the best, be the most powerful version of themselves. You are a goddess and you can excel in whatever you wish to do. This is the message, the potent message that Meenakshi Amma gives to all the girls. There are many interesting instances and amazing manifestations of Mother Meenakshi's grace from time to time, which people have experienced in innumerable ways. One telling story is that of Mr. Rouse Peter, who was once the collector of Madurai. This happened in the days when British ruled India, sometime around 1812. Rouse Peter was kind-hearted and very well respected in the region. He treated people of all the faiths equally. He, in fact, cared a lot for the welfare of the people. He also restored peace, prosperity and justice in Meenakshi's kingdom. And the people had so much respect for Peter that they used to consider him equal to any of their great Pandyan kings. And because of this, people used to call him Peter Pandyan. They used to look at him as their king. And as a district collector, Peter was not only in charge of the temple town, but also of the temple administration. And Peter had this habit of always going around the temple before starting his day's work. One night, the city experienced a huge thunderstorm with lightning. And Peter was inside his bungalow, sleeping. He was in deep slumber. Suddenly, a 3-year-old girl appeared at his residence, woke him up and dragged him by taking his hand outside the house. And as soon as they left the compound, a lightning struck the building and the bungalow collapsed to pieces. The room where he was sleeping just a few seconds ago was now in smithereens. Peter was shocked. He was so taken aback by what had happened and he then looked around to see where is this mysterious girl who saved him. And then he saw that the girl was walking away. So he followed her. And he found that though he ran after her, he could never keep up with the girl. The tiny tot always seemed to be some distance away in front of her. And however fast he walked, he could never catch up to her. And as he followed her, he entered into the temple because this little girl went into the Meenakshi temple. And then in front of his eyes, she went straight to the sanctum sanctorum of Mother Meenakshi and then merged with the idol. When Peter saw this, he was so full of gratitude to the Divine Mother for having protected him that he felt he must do something for this Divine Empress. And because he had seen the little girl running without any shoes on, Peter decides to gift the mother a pair of golden shoes studded with diamonds and red stones. In fact, whenever the idol of Mother Meenakshi is taken in procession in the streets of Madurai, this shoe is used even till this day. And the other interesting wish that Peter had was that after his death, he should be buried in a position that enabled his eyes to face the temple. And it's interesting that when Peter passed away, his grave was positioned exactly the way he wished. Even till this day, it stands as a testimony to his love and devotion and to the mother's protection. So like this, there are many amazing stories of grace, care and love of Mother Meenakshi. And this temple, in fact, attracts at least 15,000 visitors in any normal day. Of course, during festival times, it's many, many times more. So in this first line, Madurapuri Nilaye Meenakshi, we pay our obeisance to this powerful form of the Divine Mother who is installed in this beautiful city of Madurai. Let's move on to the next line.
Kama koti nilaye kamakshi
Like Madurai, the city of Kanchi too is known for its spiritual richness. Here the principal deity is Mother Kamakshi. Kamakshi means the one with captivating eyes. Another significance of the name is Ka represents Saraswati, Ma represents Lakshmi, Akshi means gracious eyes. So Kamakshi represents Lakshmi, Saraswati. She represents the energy principle of the cosmos. And the legend of the temple goes something like this. A demon named Bhandasura did severe penance and received several boons from Lord Brahma. And with this, he became arrogant and he started troubling the gods. Now the devatas, the gods, urge Lord Shiva to save them. And then Lord Shiva tells them that only the mother principle, as Shri Bala Tripura Sundari, will be able to annihilate Bhandasura. And Lord Shiva advises them to go to Kanchipuram through Bilamarga. Bilamarga means through a tunnel, because that tunnel apparently is the safest place to be during Pralaya or during the catastrophes of the world. And he tells them to go there and pray for Bala Tripura Sundari Devi. So the devatas, the gods, they come and stay in Kanchipuram, and they stay in the disguise of parrots on a champaka tree, and they pray for the manifestation of Bala Tripura Sundari Devi. The goddess finally manifests in front of them, pleased by their prayers, and she comes out of a bila or tunnel, and she comes out in a very ferocious form with 8 hands and 18 weapons. And then, listening to the prayer of the devatas, she goes north and locates Bhandasura, who was sleeping in Kailasha, and then decimates him. Then she brings the body of Bhandasura from Kailasha to Kanchipuram. And the goddess was looking very, very fiery and ferocious. So all the devatas pray to her to calm down. And now the goddess listens to their requests and takes the form of a beautiful young girl adorned with all ornaments and with a lovely smile on her lips. Pleased with this form, the gods then build a Gayatri Mandapam and invite the goddess to ascend that stage. They install her there, singing her praises. And something interesting happens the next morning. When they go to that place, there, instead of the young girl, they find that it is Mother Goddess in her full glory as Maha Tripura Sundari who is installed there. And the mother says that she was pleased by their prayers and also gives them the boon that she would be blessing everyone who comes there with her eyesight itself. And she will be known as Kamakshi Devi, the mother pronounces, the one with beautiful eyes. Shri Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, the great sage of Kanchi, once said, "This shrine draws onto it the power of any sanctum that you may be praying at and returns it multifold, manifold." So Mother Kamakshi is the presiding deity for this entire town, so much so that the processions of all the temples go around her abode. She is the personification of Durga, Lakshmi and Saraswati, and her shrine is situated in such a way that a devotee can never show their back to her. The temple also has a shrine for Sri Adi Shankaracharya, who installed the Sri Chakram inside the sacred presence of this temple. Kamakshi Devi is also called as Kama Koti, because Mother Kamakshi gives much more than what we ask, much more than what we desire. And that is what is conveyed in this line, where we sing Kama Koti Nilaye Kamakshi. We extol this powerful manifestation of the Mother, the most gracious and merciful one who wants to fill us with her grace in bountiful manner. Let's move on to the third line.
Kashipuradhishwari Vishveshwari.
Vishveshwari means mother of all beings in the universe. Once one of the teachers in Vrindavan shared that he and a few others were walking in the Trai Lawns, that is Bhagwan's residence in Bengaluru, Vrindavan, and suddenly Bhagwan stopped. They wondered what was wrong, and then they saw a straight stream of ants going from one side of the lawn to the other. And what Swami did was interesting. Swami immediately materialized candy, broke it into pieces and he put it there for the ants. And he looked at the boys and said, "Lunchtime. It is lunchtime for his beloved ants. Everyone is his beloved and he has to look after the entire creation. That is why he is Vishveshwari." So in this line, we adore the Divine Mother who is installed in the sacred temple town of Kashi. So we refer first to Madhura, then we refer to Kanchi, and then we come now to adoring the Lord who is there as the consort of Lord Shiva in the spiritual town of Kashi. Kashi Puradhishwari Vishveshwari, because the Lord is there as Vishveshwar and his consort is Vishveshwari. Finally, we come to the last line.
Parti Puradhishwari Saishwari.
Parti Puradhishwari Saishwari. There's a wonderful incident recounted by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan, whose family has been in the Sai fold for many decades. Bhagwan once wrote a beautiful letter to her cousin brother who lived in the town of Mysore. At that time, the mother had come to Puttaparthi for one of the functions and had left behind all the children by themselves. So this cousin brother was the eldest and he was probably 16 or 17 while his siblings were much younger. The parents had said that they would return in 2 days after Bhagwan's darshan. But once they were in Puttaparthi, Swami asked the mother to stay for the birthday celebrations and that was almost a month away. And the mother said, "Swami, I have left all the children and come away. I cannot stay for 1 month in Puttaparthi." Bhagwan very sweetly replied and said, "Why are you worried about them? I am there with them. You stay here." But the mother insisted, "No, Swami, the children are so young, they will be worried without me. If I am not there, they won't be able to even manage to go to school. And the eldest is going to college. He cannot look after the little ones." Bhagwan said, "Don't worry. I will write a letter to them." And Bhagwan indeed wrote a beautiful letter to Mrs. Geeta's cousin brother. And in that, Bhagwan writes, "Are you really worried that your physical mother is away from you? But why are you worried? Your cosmic mother, the mother who has given birth to this whole universe, he is there with you. Are you worried that I am not there with you? I am always there with you." And then Bhagwan went on to narrate so many instances of what was happening there in their home. "Haven't you done this yesterday? Did you not do this day before yesterday? Did you not pour extra oil into the lamp while lighting it in the puja room last evening?" So like this, Bhagwan's letter was filled with details of how he was there with them at every second, looking after them, safeguarding them. He is that cosmic mother Sai, the mother of the entire universe. Brother Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam is an alumnus of Bhagwan's university, and when he was in the final year of his engineering course, a few of his friends expressed their desire to come with him to Puttaparthi to have Bhagwan's darshan. And so Madhav requested Swami if he could bring these boys, and Swami gladly acceded to his request. And they had planned to be in Prashanthi Nilayam for 2 days, and during the first darshan, Swami came very close to their group and blessed them, and he said that he was very happy, but he ignored them for the next 2 darshans. Now, Madhav did not want to give any false hopes to these friends that Swami would give an interview or anything of that sort. He said that Swami has already spoken to us, so that itself is a great blessing. But he told them, "You please may write letters and keep them ready, because we never know if Swami wants he can do anything. If he gives us a chance, we could at least give these letters to Bhagwan." And that's what they did, but Bhagwan had other plans. He came close to the group the next day and he asked Madhav, "How many are there in your group?" And he said, "Swami, 6. And then Swami completed the darshan rounds and called the entire group for an interview. And then for 45 minutes, Swami spoke to the entire group. In fact, he told personal details of every person, every student's family, his personal problems and everything. It was so detailed that each one was shocked. In fact, one particular boy in the group had a stomach ailment. And though it was not very serious, it was giving him trouble. And when he had consulted doctors, they said that it is some kind of an allergy. Imagine this boy's surprise when Swami singles him out and he asks him the question, "How is your health?" And the boy said, "Swami, I have this stomach problem." And Swami materialized a lingam for him and told him that he should daily perform abhishekam to this lingam and then drink the holy water. And Swami then created an envelope and neatly packed the lingam and gave it to the boy and said, "Take this. I am giving it to you like a mother would give you to save you and protect you." The boy had only heard of Swami before he came to Prashantanilayam. He had no idea of the merciful love of the Lord who knows our past, our present, our future, and the Lord who is ever eager to be by our side and carry us in her arms to protection and to safety. So that is the Divine Mother we pray to in this last line, Partipura Adhishwari Saishwari. Dear listeners, if you ruminate, there are so many beautiful moments when the Lord has been with us, protected us, guided us, and we have to fill ourselves with these lovely moments as we sing this bhajan. Let's sing this once again along with the students of Bhagwan's University. With that, we come to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With humility and gratitude, we offer this endeavor at His Divine Lotus Feet. So with that, dear listeners, we come to the end of 51st episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Yes, we have done more than 50 bhajans. I just discovered I never took a count. Today when I was just seeing how many have we done, and it was a pleasant surprise that we have completed more than 50. This, in fact, today was the 51st episode of Vintage Bhajans. Really grateful to Bhagwan that He has given us this opportunity to rediscover so many beautiful compositions to raise one, isn't it so lovely, on the Divine Mother. And there are so many such pearls, such gems that are still there in the womb of time. They are still there somewhere lost, and we have to bring it back, and we can use them. We can use this beautiful medium to connect with Bhagwan, to be in that bliss of bhajans, because there are very, very few things in the world that can give us as much bliss, as much connect, as much solace as a bhajan, a Sai bhajan can give us. Today is a very beautiful Thursday. Let us listen to one Guru bhajan, one of our vintage bhajans that we had learnt few weeks ago. And then I will share with you another very beautiful initiative that we have taken for Bhagwan's 92nd birthday.
Jaya Guru Natha, Shiva Guru Natha.
So that was one vintage bhajan on Guru. I think like this we have done, as I mentioned, 51 such melodies on various deities, on various gods. Let us download them from the Radio Sai website and let's practice them, let's use them for our purification, to help us in our devotion to the Lord. And coming to a beautiful initiative that probably if you are seeing the Radio Sai website regularly might have noticed, we have a special invitation for all to join us in celebrating Bhagwan's love on his 92nd birthday, and this initiative is called Holding On to Him. Isn't the feeling of holding on to Him so precious, so priceless? In fact, it is a unique privilege and a blessing conferred on all of us. This is what emboldens us. This is what enlightens us, isn't it? When we are in deep pain and we feel it's all over, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and the sorrow slowly melts away because Sai takes over. When we feel lonely, lost and discarded, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and we are filled with solitude, we feel comforted. When happiness arrives from unknown quarters, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and in joy we thank Him. Nobody else matters. When we are worried and anxious at every step, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and we feel strengthened. His energy lifts us up. When desire grips us and all around it is only darkness, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and the sliver of His grace guides us and fills us with brightness. When we are silent and away from disturbances outside, we hold on to Him, we hold on to Sai, and Sai takes us within. He takes us to Him, and it is pure bliss inside. It is so beautiful reflecting on how our life has transformed, how our life is not how it used to be, how it has changed so much since we have learned to hold on to Him. And we thought it would be very beautiful to express these sublime feelings. Wouldn't it be beautiful to ruminate on this and come up with creative ideas, creative work? So that is what we have for you. As there are just 4 weeks left for Bhagwan's birthday celebrations, please ruminate on this feeling of holding on to Him and create anything beautiful, a beautiful painting, sketch, or an artwork, or a heartfelt poem, or a short story, or a song. Put it to music, anything creative, and send it to us. Send it to our email ID h2h@radiosai.org with the subject Holding On to Him. And we will collate all these expressions of devotional creativity and we'll offer them at Bhagwan's lotus feet at the Sannidhi as our birthday offering, as our collective birthday submission. And of course, we will share some of the beautiful ones on our website too, so that this joy multiplies. So this is what we have for you as we celebrate Bhagwan's 92nd birthday. It's time now to move on to the next segment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, and my colleagues Prem and Harishankar are waiting to take over. I will be back after Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam for a special episode of Vahini Satsang. Today we will have again Professor Venkatraman, and also we will have Dr. Shivasankar Sai, who is the Dean of Sciences in Bhagwan's University in the Prashantinilam campus. So we will listen to their reflections of what Bhagwan has written in the 13th chapter of Prema Vahini. So that's coming up 1 hour from now. For the moment, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you so much. Keep listening.